This is a Power 98.7 podcast. Now we're talking. Subscribe to Power 98.7 podcasts in iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. There's more on power987.co.za.
Now I'm being joined on the line by Sisa Ntshona, SA Tourism CEO. Sisa, good morning and welcome to Power Talk.
Thank you, Gujanluko.
Siyaphila, uphilile namhlanje?
Excellent, kuhle.
Are you stuck somewhere in the world and you can't travel?
I'm behind my desk office. Can you believe it?
No, that's a responsible citizen. But from the view of SA Tourism, Sisa, these restrictions that we see across the world, I mean, I know there's particular focus on the US, but it's not just the US. A number of countries have placed restrictions. How do you view them as SA Tourism?
You know, look, the world right now is going through some form of, protectionism.
Yeah.
So what is happening is that each country is putting together policies that protect themselves against everyone else. And what this does, it creates uncertainty as to the mobility of people.
Mm.
So traveling from one country to the next is almost like building a puzzle, because when there are protocols that one has to observe in your own country. And if you're transiting in the UAE, as an example, you have to observe those ones. And also, ultimately, your destination, you also have to observe those ones. And by the way, these could change midstream of your holiday or your business, travels, etc. So the world is still stabilizing. And at some point in time, we have to get some sort of regime where there's certainty around movement of people.
Absolutely. But I mean, how this pandemic is being handled now, and I understand the issue of protectionism. Everybody wants to make sure that they are as secure as possible. Are you worried that there may be long-term effects on these patterns of movement of people globally, which might have an impact on tourism in the country?
Oh, absolutely. Things will never be the same again. I think that one is, is for certain. There's going to be an increased interest in countries understanding the whereabouts or the movements of people that are entering their country. So essentially, they're no longer going to be asking you, how much money do you have, et cetera, et cetera. They're going to be asking, where did you travel to and what risk do you pose to my citizens and how do I protect my citizens against a potential spreader such as yourself? So that regime is still going to work its way out, and it will have an impact on travel. I think you'll start to see a bit of a blip whilst the world still normalizes. Then thereafter, I think movement is going to become easier.
The delay of the vaccine rollout in the country also has important strains that it poses in terms of, perhaps some countries relooking and rethinking their stance on South Africa. Is there enough consultation between yourselves and the national government to try and understand how far things are moving so that there can be a bit of relief in the tourism industry? Even so, since I'm asking, because sure, relief even for domestic traveling, for tourism, some people are saying, as long as I'm not vaccinated, I'm going to stay put and stay at home.
Yeah, absolutely. Unlike Uchifiu at TBCSA, we are part of government, so we can't lobby ourselves, So the issue...
So are you the problem?
The issue, however, you're absolutely right, that vaccine rollout is actually a competitive advantage issue. That essentially it gives confidence for people to travel and move around because they would have some level of protection. So in the final analysis, travelers will prioritize destinations that have got a higher vaccine rollout than those that don't. Similarly, as well, as you said, domestically and locally, it also does create an element of an inhibition. For the foreseeable future, Lukono, probably for the next 12 to 24 months, domestic tourism is going to be our bread and butter. It's going to take some time before the world starts to travel in any large amount. So even if, US, you're near vaccinated, it doesn't necessarily mean you're going to get up from your chair and start traveling.
And start traveling in the world.
It just gives you a sense of comfort and security initially.
I mean, you talk about domestic tourism going to become our bread and butter. There have always been type of conversations which you can probably help clarify me whether they've been myth or fact, where we usually said, domestic tourism seems to be quite slow in terms of uptake. As you look at the numbers, are you thinking that the picture is changing, or we still have to do a lot of work to motivate domestic tourism?
oh, the picture is changing quite fundamentally. So I'm a big fan of long weekends. Whenever I see long weekends,
this weekend is good for your sector.
Oh God, it's very good. I've been getting calls there, you know, and it really is good, you know. And I think when it's a recalibration of how the sector should be stacked up, because previously the market was always overseas. We always had this obsession of international tourists and neglecting the domestic one. And as I said, the recalibration is now there is no other market besides domestic. It therefore compels the sector and all the private sector players to saying, how do I reorganize myself or pivot in order then to satisfy the local market? Pricing, offering, the entire suite.
Do you think now those pricing issues have changed? Because definitely when you see some game reserves, when you see some lodges, you know, you'd think, yeah, this far outprices me as a person who likes traveling, but I'm like, I can't afford that. So is a conversation you are having with the sector to relook at the packages that they offer and the structure, the costing structure, basically?
You know, Lukona, ultimately the laws of supply and demand kick in, right? That if businesses overprice themselves, no one will come. However, we have to be cognizant of two things in South Africa. One is that we have the world's highest Gini coefficient. There are people here with money, right? And suddenly now they're not able to travel overseas and they're inwardly looking at taking up those packages, you know. So whilst for the ordinary man on the street, they're not able to access this, when I call those resorts, they are full. You know, so it does tell you that there is a market that they are moving there. And the phenomenon of the private sector, they're profit maximizers. So they will look, you know, at selling whatever offering at the highest price that the market is able to bear. And I think that's essentially what's happening. We are turning that international market that used to go to south of France, skiing and all those other things. Now they're actually going internally and are taking up some of the high-end, you know, offerings that this country has from a tourism side.
Sisa, from a rands and cents point of view, because I'm sure you're also worried about that, if you look at the sector in terms of revenue generation, how big is the injury that has been caused by COVID-19?
Oh, it's huge. It's huge. Globally, we are at 1990 levels. So we've regressed 30 years within 1 year, you know, as a sector. Secondly, as well, whilst I said the leisure tourism is good, especially on long weekends, we're still suffering with the urban hotels. And I'm talking ones that historically have, you know, corporate travel, business travel,
conferencing.
Absolutely empty. Those are being gutted. I mean, just up the road from you guys, Rosebank, the Hyatt is still not opened. You know, Hilton Hotel in Durban is closed. So that gives you a sense that, you know, the corporate traveler, business traveler is just not moving. We are just relying on leisure. So anything with a mountain, a beach or a bush is popular, especially on weekends.
That is quite a scary picture when you talk like that, because then there is a possibility of closure and of some of these urban hotels, which would affect the conferencing circuit someday in the future, which we don't know. But also there is a possibility, Sisa, that we might just be stuck with hybridized conferencing, because we see it works. It saves time, it saves travel, and it saves a lot of other anxieties.
Yeah, you know, the jury's out whether this will stick and be a permanent feature. But what I can tell you is that we can never go back to ways of old, you know. So some form of hybrid kind of element is really going to seep in. At the same time, people are missing interacting, you know, with other people as well. But it's all about how do you keep safe within the space. It is constantly moving all the time. And we're spending a lot of time being obsessed about understanding the changing consumer behavior. And I think once we can get that, we're able to kind of respond quite securely there.
I think let us leave it there. That's a good point to leave it at. But thank you so much for making some time to join us. I know it's a busy day because it's a long weekend for some people who have taken leave today.
There you go. The country thanks you.
Sisa John Diabulela. Okay, that is SA Tourism CEO.
You've been listening to a Power 98.7 podcast. For more podcasts, visit power987.co.za or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.